Thank you for tuning in to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, all things Bucks, all kinds of different things NFL. It's the custodian of Canton himself, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter, on his twice-weekly podcasts every Tuesday and Thursday. And, of course, the podcasts do not exist. We are not here if it's not for Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morse is challenging all other dealers to give you the lowest prices of the summer. Over at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, General Manager Brian Danahy is knocking out the competition during the Ed Morse Summer Sales Challenge. Right now, take advantage of the summer's best offers like the iconic 2017 CTS sedan lease for just $409. Get the best prices of the summer at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. See dealer for all the details, every last one of them. And don't forget Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is the place to start your car shopping search. The Summer Sales Challenge is still going strong there. General Manager Mark Walmsley also is knocking out the other dealers with low prices on new Cadillacs. Get a 2017 ATS, $349 a month, or a 2017 XT5, $389 a month. The Summer Sales Challenge is on. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. See dealer for all the details. And we'll talk more about Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. But we appreciate them and we appreciate you. And without further ado, let's head over to the podcast and Mr. Ira Kaufman. So how about those incredible offers, Ira? Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, proud sponsors of all of your columns, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, your miraculously fantastic podcasts every Tuesday and Thursday here on JoeBucksFan.com. And of course, you can listen anytime, iTunes, Podbean, or at JoeBucksFan.com. Go back and listen to them.
You're 2 weeks removed from the holidays, July 4th. 2 weeks removed, and you're still talking about specials at Ed Morse Cadillac? What's going on in that shop?
Ira, there's always fantastic offers at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. It's just that simple. Doesn't matter the day, the holiday, the time of year. And, of course, these offers only last till the end of the month, and that's for real. That's your deadline, so you want to check them out. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
Are you challenging Buck fans to purchase a Cadillac and drive it to one Buck place in time for training camp? Is that what's on your mind right now?
You know what? That actually gives me an idea, Ira. Maybe on training camp takeover day, maybe I could see if Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, maybe they'd let you take out a Cadillac for the day and roll up in an Escalade, let the social media run wild with Ira in his Cadillac, you know.
People see that rolling up, they think it's a player. Then I come out, it's a huge drop-off.
And it's still a player. All right, Kaufman.
With a small P. What do we got today?
I resisted the one-liner there big time. All right, I'm Steve Isbitz, JoeBucksFan.com, here with Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, of course, is unmistakable. And we're at Abe's Place in Clearwater. Home of the beginning and the ending of the Training Camp Express luxury bus to training camp. Visit trainingcampexpress.com or check out joebucksfan.com. $5 round trip, $5 off your lunch when you come back. Unbelievable deal. The tickets are already moving fast, Ira.
I don't understand how you can turn down that deal. It's $5 in gas anyway. You're getting a coupon. You're getting $5 off your food.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We did it last year. Very successful. Pure limousine luxury bus.
What a way to roll up on stick carrier day, right?
Very comfortable. Great way. Pack yourself a couple of mimosas in the cooler and head out there. Fantastic. All right.
A little beet salad under the ice, keep it cold.
Let me make it clear. They do not serve the beet salad here at Abe's. It's much too classy.
You know,
and
I
nice
looked at the
that.
Menu and I couldn't find it. I was a little disappointed. They do have good salads, though, but not a beet salad. That's all right.
All right, Kaufman.
No, hey. Wait a minute. That reminds me. See, Lee, everything strikes another chord over here. I was down in Fort Myers last week. Little beach vacation, and I went to my favorite place on Sanibel. Really nice restaurant. Quality stuff, DeKemper.
Right?
The one where you got to reach into your pocket a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And I love this place. Every time we go down to Fort Myers, I might as well give them a plug, Melissa's Sweet Cafe. Melissa's a famous song by the Allman Brothers, one of my wife's favorite songs.
Wow.
Melissa, Greg Allman with the great voice, the late, great Greg Allman. Anyway, I'm looking at
Greg Allman.
Steve, I walk in there. There's no beet salad.
Wait a minute. Did you say Greg Allman?
I could have said Greg Allman.
Greg Allman.
Okay, I got it.
Greg Allman. Don't try to pin that one on me, Justin and Jason. Anyway, I go in there. I'm looking at the menu. Lee, there's no beet salad. I told my wife, let's get out of here.
It's a low-class joint.
Waitress comes over. Where's the beet salad? It's only seasonal, sir. It's only seasonal. Come back in the winter. I said, maybe I will. It's a 120-mile drive. That's a lot for a beet salad. Anyway, that's my story for today.
That was one hell of a story, Ira.
It ain't as good as Nick Puglisi. No, you're not picking the Bucks.
What's the longest you've driven? You had a craving for something so intense, like I have to have it, and you hopped in your car.
Well, I'd say Rachel Watson, but keep going over there, Mr. Isbitz. Continue.
Unbelievable.
Continue before I get in trouble.
Unbelievable.
That's a craving of another sort.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man. Ira, you know what? What a story, right? I could sum up the story in two words. I went out to dinner. They didn't have a beet salad. What is that?
Instead, it's 6 minutes with me.
It's
seasonal. You got to come back in the winter.
Hold on. Before you start, I got a better story.
Please.
Uh-oh.
And you know, I think Javier and the guys in Timbuktu, they like these stories.
Timbuktu.
All right. Now, it's a little off track. But
the United Emirates.
It's worth it. Look, I believe that the Pepsi 500 is a July 4th race or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I come down here, 1985. From Weehawken, New Jersey. I'm a guy who didn't. Now, I promised you the Verrazano Bridge story, which is going to be at a later date. And we're going to have to advertise that podcast. It'll be a special podcast. Because this is the story that is still asked for by my buddies. They've heard it 22 times. But I come down here in 1985. I don't know anything about driving. I didn't get a car till I was 20 years old. I'm taking the F train everywhere I go. All right. I come down here, and a month later, UPI in New York tells me I got to cover the Daytona 500. Now it's February 1985. I tell the guy on the phone, I don't know anything about auto racing. We don't have anybody else. You got to go there. So I go, and I got the trial week and this and that. I don't know what the heck's going on. I don't know a Ford from a Maserati.
Been there before, man.
Now, gentlemen, this is a true story. It's race day. And the AP had this guy who was famous, Mike Harris. Mike Harris, when it came to auto racing, he was the guy. Like in golf, they got a guy named Doug Ferguson. He goes to all the tournaments. He's the man.
As opposed to Jerry Bonkowski?
Never mind that. So we're all in there. And Orlando's got their guy, and St. Pete's got a guy, and Miami's got a guy. It's the Daytona 500. Jacksonville's got a guy, the paper. So I'm sitting there, and I can't figure out what's going on. I have no idea what lap this guy's on. I see a scoreboard. It's blinking on me. I don't know who's a lap behind, who's a lap ahead. There's flags. I'm colorblind. I can't read the flags. I mean, it was a total disaster. But I knew the race was nearing the end. And true story, I stood up in the press room at Daytona International Speedway, one of the world-famous race venues. I stood up. And I was sitting right behind this Mike Harris guy, who's done 2,500 races in his life.
Wow.
And this was number one for me. And I stood up and I said, ladies and gentlemen, in 90 seconds, there will be a bulletin on the UPI wire with my name on it and a Daytona Beach dateline. And right now, I got no idea who the hell's winning this race. Mike Harris stood up, looked at me and said, who the hell said that? I said, your counterpart from United Press. Have a good day, sir. I didn't know anything. I still, when I watch a race, I still don't know what's going on.
So did you get it right? Somebody tell you who won?
Well, I think I took a stab. I had a 1 out of 5 shot, and I think I might have hit the jackpot. To this day, I don't know anything about auto racing. All I know is, out of those 150,000 people, 145,000 are waiting for a crash, and nobody's going to tell me different.
For the Tribune one time, what's that IndyCar race they have in St. Pete that sounds
the
like
Grand
nuclear,
Prix.
Yeah,
Grand
the nuclear Prix. Mosquitoes.
They close out downtown.
Yeah, it's a complete pain in the neck. Anyway.
It's going to cost you another grouper nugget over here.
Tribune sends me to cover that. What you talked about, the same way with me. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And I can't remember the guy's name. It was the NASCAR rider, but they had him go there too.
Tony Fabrizio?
Oh, yeah. He, to this day, I shouldn't say. He apologized a couple years later. He goes, I didn't realize what a derriere I was to you. And to this day, I don't care if somebody called me up and said, we'll give you $1,000 to cover a race. Shove it. Ain't happen. Now I'll go watch one, but I'll be damned if I ever cover one again.
And speaking of, people that are ignorant about certain sports, here we go with, we turn our attention to Mr. Isbitz talking about pro football.
What a segue.
You may continue, Mr. Isbitz.
Harsh, Ira.
What
harsh.
Do we got today? What's on the menu, Steve?
All right, look, depth.
With comments like that, you're going to wake up President Tweet, and he's going to start going after you.
Now we're up to part 6 of Dirk Cutter on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, Part 6. If you haven't heard any of Coach before, just go to iTunes, Podbean, JoeBucksFan.com. You'll find it. A lot of good stuff from Coach Cutter. One of the questions we asked Cutter, Lee asked him about Javian Elliott and cornerback depth in general and what the head coach is seeing. And Cutter took it a little bit in a different direction.
Defensive back depth. Yeah, I understand it's shorts and shirts, and you know, you can only take so much from it. Seems like rarely a practice goes by that we've seen that's been open that Javon Elliott hasn't made a play. And I'm hearing good things about Ryan Smith. Could it be that maybe your depth at cornerback may be better than what some people are anticipating?
I think what happens is teams in the NFL, you can only have so many name players that everybody knows their name. And sometimes if the fans haven't heard a name before, or even if the media hasn't heard a name before, they just assume the guy's no good. Okay, if a guy's out there on a 90-man roster in the NFL, he's pretty good. All right, he's there's a lot of guys that aren't, and it's going to get cut down even more. But what I would just say, because I read you guys' website, and if a corner's getting torched, then he gets torched on your website too. So now you're talking about guys you just don't know their name. Well, what about the guys that you want us to bring back, the guys that you were already mad at? I always laugh about that, because your depth is your depth. Okay, it's not like you can't just trade these guys out all day, because it's not like there's 200 great players sitting out there on the street. Someone would sign them. So we believe in, you know, obviously there's salary cap and there's draft and all that stuff. There's free agency, but you got to develop your players. And you look at, we mentioned Javian Elliott. Okay, so Javian Elliott was a tryout player last year, right? Like he was how Adam Humphries was. And he improved every week, ended up starting a couple games for us, did fine. And he's continuing to get better out there. Ryan Smith, guy that played a couple different positions. We wanted to try him at safety. It didn't work out too well. We're putting him back at corner. He's doing better. You know, a lot of times you don't really know how your depth is going to work out until they get in the fire and have to do it. Peyton Barber's another one. He came out of nowhere, as you know, slowly but surely. When we needed him, he did okay. But you're never gonna have 53 known quantities that you're just gonna say, okay, number 46 on your roster goes out there, I know exactly what he's gonna do. That's never gonna happen.
You know, two points real quick to reinforce your point. You all see our Twitter feed. When a player that's a recognized name gets cut or released for whatever reason, immediately, Bucks interested in him. But in the immortal words of Jimbo Fisher, is one of the greatest lines I ever heard. Some guy, you know, one of us, formerly Ink Sting wretches, trying to play X's and O's with Jimbo Fisher, kept pestering him. And finally, Jimbo Fisher said, "This ain't PlayStation."
So there you go, Ira. You just had Dirk Cutter there. You hear him sort of blow off the Elliott question a little bit and really start talking about how he reads Joe Bucks fan, how he hears the criticism of players, and you know, he had some funny one-liners in there.
You know, once again, you appreciate the guy's honesty.
Candor.
Candor. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, you know, you churn the – every team does it, Lee. From the Patriots down to the Jets, from the sublime to the ridiculous, mm-hmm. You churn the bottom of the roster.
Oh, Belichick is a master at that.
Steve, 10 guys, 12 guys, 14 guys, you churn it.
Belichick's the master.
That's what you do. And Cutter's absolutely right. How can he stand here and tell us what Ryan Smith is going to do in the heat of battle at corner? We didn't even know what he could do at safety. Now he's shifting position back to corner. Tremendous honesty by Cutter. You know, the Bucks' depth is better than it used to be, Steve, but I still have some questions about it in certain areas. And Elliott's an example. He played a little bit down the stretch when Barima was suspended. He did okay. We didn't notice him. He didn't get a pick. That's fine. He's going to be in the mix, Lee, but, you know, that secondary is a little bit in flux right now, other than Grimes and Hargrave. Mm-hmm. You're not quite sure who's got other positions locked down, and I'm okay with that.
The Bucks, you know, they'll tell you Ryan Smith, when the Bucks decided to throw in the towel at him at safety, that no one played better outside of the starters, of course. No one played better. No one covered Mike Evans better in practice. In practice. Nobody's watching in practice. That's like a couple weeks ago. Jason Light, I can't remember Sports Illustrated. He was saying, oh, you know, the media, they don't see Roberto Aguayo in the far fields when practice is closed. Mind you, Jason never offered any specifics about how well he was doing. Just said, nope. You know, to me, that's like you're hiding him.
It's all about game action.
Yeah,
game
yeah. Action. Now, you talk about depth on the roster. I remember what Dirk Cutter said I think it was the last rookie minicamp practice, which was a Saturday. And Cutter said, and I quote him, by far, end quote, open quote, by far, end quote. He said, the roster is the best it's been on the Bucks since he arrived. That's Cutter's words, by far.
Yeah, there's a couple of layers, I think, to what Cutter said. First, yeah, sure, I agree with the coach. You don't know until you roll some of these guys out. But that's where you have your general manager and your scouting department and your personnel department for. That speaks to player evaluation. You know, you don't want stiffs on the roster. You're supposed to know in advance if you have stiffs.
Can you talk about Devontae Bond right now with any clarity, Steve? No, you can't.
Of course
not. Absolutely not.
Of course not.
Hurdle last year, underwear football now.
No, of course you can. And guys have to play. But still, look at what happened at receiver last year. We don't have to go recycle all the names, the laundry list of, you know, the axis.
Dirty laundry.
The axis of ugly, whatever you want to call it.
Soiled laundry list.
Those guys didn't perform. And we heard now.
Except for Evans.
No, I'm the depth guys, Huffs, the Reedies, the Martinos, the list I didn't want to name, Ira, thank you. And
Shepard wasn't that bad. Shepard wasn't
No,
that
he
bad.
Was so good they didn't keep him, which is mind-boggling in the scope of the Bucks.
So boy, did I set him up for that, Lee.
Anyway, you know, player evaluation is critical to this, and, you know, I know Cutter, I can see how a coach would read a website, hear fans, and be like, look, you're yelling about this guy. Would you rather I bring back the guy that just got roasted, you know?
And I get, i.e. Aldron Werner?
I.e. Myron Lewis or E.J. Biggers. Or E.J. Biggers, whoever you want to talk about. But, no, you're not going to have known quantities, as Cutter said. But depth is important, and you should be able to know this stuff in advance. A perfect example. What did Jason Light say this offseason? He talked a lot about, we didn't have speed. Well, you didn't know how fast the guys were you had before. I mean, you know, I get that they got Josh Huff and thought maybe he'd be a speed injection.
And surely they weren't counting that much on Vincent Jackson, right? I mean,
Not for speed. So, but I get it, and it's a fair point by Cutter. These guys do have to get on the field. Otherwise, you never know what they look like. And we praise Bill Belichick all the time. He puts guys on the field. Nobody knows who they are, and all of a sudden they're shining, and he always seems to know just when to get rid of them, too.
You know, the old Bill Walsh theory, get rid of him a year early.
Yeah.
I remember Walsh telling me that. One year he came out to a camp when Gruden was still the coach.
And
I got 15 or 20 minutes alone with Walsh. It was fantastic.
Well, give us a synopsis.
Well, he would just talk about how even if you still think, you know, a guy's a pretty good player, age is a factor, salary is a factor, you got to groom that young player in there. And when it's his time, you put him in the lineup. You don't fall in love. That was a big Walsh thing. Don't fall in love with the guys. And that's especially dangerous when you have a successful team. Even in baseball, you see it sometimes. Mm-hmm. My Giants are doing that right now. The guys that got the Giants 3 World Series, the Hunter Pences of the world, they might be through. Matt Cain can't get you out, DeKemper. But they're still throwing him out every fifth day. These are the guys. They put rings on Bruce Bochy's fingers. It's hard. It's hard, and when the guy's got a Super Bowl ring, in large part because of a guy, it's tough to move on. But Walsh was adamant about that. Now, here's where I just want to say this, Lee. Depth as an issue. I think it's very interesting when you look at the offensive line, Steve, because check me on this. I think the interior depth is good. You've got Hawley and Evan Smith, if he makes the team, which I think he will, as guard, centers, types, who can fill in and have a lot of experience. You look at the tackle position, and I think it goes right to Cutter's point. They like Caleb Benenach. They like him. It's a fact. They like him. But what are they basing that on? Practice, a little bit of game experience.
Did okay Kansas City, was it?
Yeah, maybe Kevin Pamphile moves to tackle. But he doesn't have a lot of experience playing a tackle.
No.
So I'm a little worried about the guys behind Dotson and Donovan Smith. And, of course, Donovan Smith's basically – I think he's taken every snap.
Yes.
Steve, has he missed one snap?
No.
That's very fortunate. That's very fortunate.
You know, you mentioned interior offensive line depth. I'm not willing to lay money Joe Hawley makes the cut.
Interesting.
I'm just not. Only because
– Well, Coach Cutter talked about how light he was.
Yeah. They love his attitude. They love the attitude. He's got a little edge to him. But really small size.
You think Smith has a better chance of sticking?
Only for that reason. And
he might be more versatile than Hawley.
Yeah, play guard.
Hawley, yeah, exactly.
Guard. Hawley has played guard in the past, but that's a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming Hawley put on weight after we heard Dirk Cutter say that he played under 280 last year.
Listens to our podcast, he should have.
I'm sure they knew about this.
By the way, have you seen how much weight Ali Marpet's put on? He used to be kind of svelte. Now he's a big boy.
That's by design, right, Lee?
Yeah, let's put it this way. When he goes to Pittsburgh and he has a, what's the famous sandwich?
Yeah, Primanti Brothers.
Yeah, he goes to Primanti's. Instead of having one, he has three.
Yeah. That's the place where I ordered a soup and salad. The guy looked at me and said, I haven't heard that order in 10 years in this place.
Can't believe anybody went to Primanti's and ordered a salad.
Yeah, it goes along with the, you know, the Rieslings and the beet salads.
No, it's beyond that. Primanti's? That's going to be like, that's worse than
it's on the big board. Steve, if you don't want to sell it, don't put it on the board.
That's
worse than
going to McDonald's and asking for a salad.
Ira, that's like growing up. You went to Nathan's and got, you know, chicken fingers. Yeah. It's stupid.
This is the place where they put French fries on your sandwich.
Oh, trust me. I'm very familiar with Primanti's.
Right on your sandwich. You don't even have
it's
to
It's excellent.
You like that. Look at
not
that.
Not even a separate
You got
plate.
A gleam in your eye gleam. There, Calvin.
They're excellent. Now, right. I got go back to the Walsh real quick. Did he ever use the term with you? I think it was a term he coined, creative tension. That he always wanted the starter to feel uncomfortable at his position?
I think he might have used that. That sounds
Which is why
he
got
familiar.
Steve Young. You know, he never wanted the starter to feel comfortable. He always wanted the starter to have like a little, you know, look behind his over his shoulder a little bit.
Boy, the depth at wide receiver is so much better, Steve. So much better.
Oh, much better. You know, on the O-line, look, Evan Smith, he'll make the team. He proved he could play guard when he came in for Ali Marpet. He also had filled in a game or two at left guard. You know, he did that in Green Bay, but hadn't done it for years.
I thought he played better than he did when he was the center. Thought he was better at guard.
Me too. But, you know, he stayed healthy. They owe him like $4 million for this year. But I think he's a guy that they just are darn lucky to have in the sense that aren't a lot of swing guards out there who can also play center. Not a ton of them. You know, Hawley's not one of them unless he's really beefed up and really changed his
game. Those last 5 or 10 roster spots. It's a little bit of leap of faith.
Yes.
A little bit of leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, listen, if Wilcox or the rookie safety beats out Akante, then Conte becomes veteran depth if he makes the team.
Yeah.
You know, you could look at it that way, too.
And there's always an undrafted free agent that comes out of nowhere. Leonard Wester is a good example. I remember I got a text from someone who would know with the Bucks halfway through training camp. They said, this was like end of August. Last year, I got a text from, again, someone who would know, basically told me, it's like, if Donovan Smith goes down, Wester's our starting left tackle. That's how good he is.
Steve, the depth, let's look at linebacker.
Or that's how bad Gazzer Chairless is.
That too.
Steve, at linebacker, depth at linebacker, certainly an issue as things stand right now. Certainly. Behind Alexander and David.
A lot of unknowns, and you could say every team.
And Beckwith coming off the injury.
Yeah, a lot of teams have, every team really has some level of unknown somewhere. The leap of faith, though, you know, that's all goes back to scouting. It doesn't always have to be such a leap of faith. That's why they have entire pro personnel departments to identify these free agents.
And you want to upgrade that bottom part of your roster.
On a previous podcast a couple of weeks ago, we talked about and noted how Jonathan Casillas is a captain of the Giants, and they went 11-5 last year on the behind their defense.
Thank you, Lovey.
This is a guy.
And he was their leading tackler, Steve? He might have been their leading tackler. Casillas.
Second leading tackle.
But still,
I got 96 combined tackles or whatever, and he won a Super Bowl with the Patriots when he left the Bucs. This is a guy the Bucs tossed aside, just like Mark Barron. But Casillas fits more into this conversation because he's not making much money. He's not a big money guy, and he was a special teams ace, a guy the Bucs probably love to have right now. Anyway.
I like picking up Fitzpatrick. I don't care what his career record is. I think Buck fans are more comfortable with Ryan Fitzpatrick in week 7 with Winston out 3 weeks with a turned ankle. I think there's a comfort level with Fitzpatrick than with Ryan Griffin. Am I wrong, Lee?
Well, I was going to ask you. So you disagree with Vince Young?
I don't believe anything Vince Young says, wants to do. I don't believe anything Deion Sanders said.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Deion Sanders, forget about it.
Come on. Don't include Deion Sanders in the same sentence with Vince Young.
Well, no.
Come on.
No, I'm talking about as an announcer.
You got to give Sanders a little bit of credibility. I mean, you know, Vince Young's. Did you read that article about Vince Young?
Yes, I did.
That someone said we're going to give you. Oh, it was Fisher.
Now,
we're going to give you keys. Steve Fisher, or not Steve Fisher, but Jeff Fisher. Yeah, we're going to give you the keys to the Hummer. He thought he was getting a car.
Steve, even you, who needs no reason to disagree with me, you can't sit there and tell me Buck fans wouldn't be a little more comfortable with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I don't care about the
than
fans.
Ryan Griffin.
I don't care about the fans' comfort or fan comfort. Sure, of course, they'd prefer to have a steady hand come in for if you have, Jameis is out for a game or a snap or a quarter, whatever it is. But it comes back to Dirk Cutter. Dirk Cutter's watched Ryan Griffin for 2 full years. And beyond that, Cutter said Griffin was a guy when he was on the Saints that was somebody he wanted to bring into the Bucs as soon as you know he was hired. That, hey, Jason, this guy, if the Saints let him go, we want him in. He's had him for 2 years, and then he goes out and signs Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Not
what does
just that,
tell you?
He almost had Nick Foles.
Yeah, they made a move on Nick Foles.
Fitzpatrick's going to be the number two guy on the depth chart. I don't care what you say.
I don't think they keep three quarterbacks this year. I really don't. I don't see it.
This Ryan the Griffin guy is going to be a practice squad dude.
Griffin signed a restricted free agent deal, tender or whatever you call it. If they keep him, he makes $1.8 million. If they cut him and bring him back at a lesser salary in week two or something, they can pay him week to week. But they need the depth at linebacker because they lost guys. They've got a lot of young
Darryl
guys.
Darryl Smith
handled multiple positions, and they might need an extra body there. There's also guys coming back from injury that they might want to be more patient with, like a Jaquy Smith, you know, to have more depth around. So it's
Don't screw up this backup quarterback spot. You've been spoiled by Jameis Winston for 2 years. You've been spoiled.
Yes.
Don't push your luck.
I got a Ryan Griffin story for you.
Okay.
This says something about me, but it also says a little lot more about Ryan Griffin. Some listeners will go bananas when they hear this. I'm waiting for the comments. I don't give a number two about the third string quarterback, especially if he's never taken a snap in the NFL. I just don't care about him. I have no desire to talk to the guy. I have no desire to learn about his background. I don't care. I'm worried about people who can make an impact on the team. Starters, coaches, not a project. So when I'm in the locker room, I can talk to Jameis Winston, or I can talk to Ryan Griffin. I can talk to Quan Alexander, Ryan Griffin. I can talk to Gerald McCoy, Ryan. We're only in there louder in there an hour and 15 minutes. Why would I waste any time with Ryan Griffin, okay? So, fast forward a couple months ago. Jameis Winston had his camp at Sun Lake High School in Land O'Lakes. And I went there, it was a Saturday afternoon, tried to talk to Jameis, and the only thing he wanted to talk about was the camp. For me, it was a waste of time. I wrote something up, but I didn't care about his camp. I was wanting to find out some other. He didn't want to talk about Bucks. It was only the game. Anyway, talked to his dad for about 40 minutes. Got some info from his dad's a great guy. So I'm leaving.
Found out his dad reached Joe Bucks fan, right?
Oh, I know he does. Oh, yeah. And to quote, I'm going to directly quote Antonor. Because you tell Justin I'm a stick carrier.
Oh, boy.
And the difference between Justin and me is I use my stick. So
Wait a minute. Now we have Winston's father and Dirk Cutter both singling out Justin Pawlowski by name. This is a crazy
time. Yeah, Leah told that on the podcast before, and I bet you at training camp takeover day, I bet you there's a very good chance Mr. Winston will be out there.
I've come to understand that Phil Brait, Cam's dad, is also a stick carrier.
Where is Miko Grimes in all this? Where is Miko? Are you
going
to introduce me to Miko Grimes?
Miko's been on the podcast.
She liked my Brent.
All right, I'm pulling you back to reality here.
Mike, I can finish the story about Ryan Griffin.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Here's my Ryan Griffin. So I'm at the camp. I'm leaving. I'm getting toward my truck. I'm starting to get in my truck. All of a sudden, I see three white dudes about 50 feet away. And one's a huge guy. He's waving at me. Oh, it's Ali Marpet. They're waving at me, you know. So I climb out of the truck, go up, talk to him. I said, this is off the record. I noticed no notebook, no pen. Just saying hi to you. How
now,
you know?
Well, wait a minute. How'd you get into the player's parking lot?
It was a regular high school parking lot.
High school
lot.
Summer camp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
So they're waving at me as I'm leaving. So I went and I just BS'd with them with three guys. One, of course, was Ali. Other was Cam Brait. Third guy, I didn't know who the hell he was. Baseball cap, sunglasses. I had no idea. Find out later that night, that was Ryan Griffin.
Ryan Griffin.
I had no idea. He had sunglasses, baseball cap. I couldn't have pulled him out of a freaking lineup.
You had him by yourself for 20 minutes. You could have broke the Ryan Griffin story. You didn't do it.
What story?
Now, Steve, what do you think of the depth at running back? What do you think?
Well, the depth at running back, it's
uncertain.
Here, let me redirect on you, Ira. I'm going to redirect. Scott Smith of Buccaneers.com covers the team inside.
Been around forever.
Been around for a long time. You know, and like every team website, the reporters there pretty much just put a happy spin on everything. They try their best to make everything look great. Whether you're 2-12 or 12-2, it's sort of the same vibe.
You look for the positive.
Look for the positives, and if something's really negative, you just sort of pretend it didn't happen. And Scott Smith, does a little online radio kind of chat there on the website.
With Casey, right?
With Casey Phillips. He actually the other day was talking about depth. Critical might be the wrong word, but he was very vocal in this discussion about depth, saying, you know what? There's a lot of nice names out there, guys you like and get excited about. But he was saying, for me, depth is guys who have real experience, not just maybe they're a good player behind somebody. In his mind, he was saying depth is real experience. So he spoke to the O-line saying, look, those guys that we talked about before here, they have real experience in Evan Smith. They've been there. And he specifically pointed to cornerback as a position of troubling depth on the Bucs. And he said, look, Ryan Smith's never played an NFL defensive snap in his life, and he's going to be the lead guy right now on the outside cornerback. Scott Smith also said Josh Robinson, who is a cornerback as well, a special teams guy, he also did not play one defensive snap last year, which is very, very rare. And it's troubling that he couldn't beat out Alteron Verner for one damn snap, and Verner can't find a job.
He's clearly a special teams guy.
Yeah, so
he's very good.
The point, but greater point by Scott Smith was depth in his mind is guys who've actually played, not rookies or question marks or whatever. You buy that?
Is that why they signed the former Falcon, the man that
you would think Robert McClain?
Yeah, the man that Mike Smith's very well familiar with.
Yeah, to me, it's pretty clear. Josh Robinson is strictly a special teams guy, sort of what Shepard was last year, but Shepard, because of injuries, they had no choice, but he was pressed into duty. Here's one for you. Steve was talking about how dicey it is for Scott Smith. Works for, Buccaneers.com, so he can't exactly.
His check reads Tampa Bay Bucs.
Yeah, so I'll give you a perfect example how dicey that is. I used to work for a similar outfit. I was one of the very first writers for MLB.com. At the time, it was MLB at Bat. This is back, 1995, 96. I was one of the very first writers. I can't remember what story I wrote, and I mentioned the strike because I was hired right before the strike in the 90s. Got a call from the editor. The strike never happened.
The strike never
it
happened.
It didn't exist. Don't ever, ever reference the strike again. It never happened.
That's why I appreciate my freedom with you two slugs. You don't bother me what I write. I got total freedom.
It's kind of like the Tampa Bay Times. We can break a story on JoeBucksFan.com, and over at their headquarters, they say, it never happened. I don't care.
At the time we had exclusive, when we hired some people over in Hawaii to interview Jameis, and it went on three different TV stations, and it was like it never happened.
Same for the Tribune. They ignored that, too.
The Times said it never happened. It's like, when are the Bucs going to let Jameis talk to a reporter locally? Hello?
Oh, yeah, that's a fun story, Aaron.
Wasn't
the Times, so I just want to clarify. At the time, when we had a reporter out at the Pro Bowl 2016, Jameis is there. Okay.
This is a guy you paid.
Yes.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah. And
they weren't doing it for free.
Tom Jones and Rick Stroud were who everybody knows from the Tampa Bay Times. They used to have a morning radio show. And they literally went on a rant. Jones went on a rant maybe, 2-3 weeks after the Jameis interview, which we broke into parts, and audio was played on WDAE, their former station.
They had the audio.
We had an exclusive interview with Jameis at the Pro Bowl, okay? We asked him questions. They had the audio. They knew it was playing on their station. It was everywhere. And Tom Jones goes on to complain that the Bucs haven't made Jameis available since the season.
Since Lovie was fired.
And,
public statement.
They got to make him more available. We haven't heard from Jameis. The coach was
fired. Haven't heard from Jameis.
And so Lee and I were like, well, hello, he was available at the Pro Bowl. You could have talked to him all you want. He was there for 3 days with open media availability. It's not the team's fault that a newspaper didn't want to invest $1,000 to send somebody to Hawaii.
Hell, they could have hired someone out there for $70.
Or, you get the idea.
Did the Bucs have somebody out there?
They had Scott Smith out there, but this was an exclusive interview and wasn't gotten with the Bucs because, as the Buccaneers don't control the Pro Bowl. That's controlled by the league.
And the Bucs didn't want to ask him about Lovie getting fired.
The bottom line is the reaction was it never happened.
It was as if it never happened.
Even though we offered the video to Bay News 9, Channel 8.
Oh, it was on Channel 10.
Yeah, it was broadcast. It was broadcast on radio. It was broadcast on TV. News stations, not 98.7 Rock or whatever.
Yeah, actually, Bright House Sports Network aired it as well.
They must have thought it was fake news, Steve. Fake news.
I guess so. Fake Jameis. All right, well, the depth thing, Ira, we can wrap up on depth. When you lose, you complain about depth. When you win, hey, everybody's great. Now, do I think Javian Elliott or Hey Jude, Ajay Barima, or Ryan Smith. Do I think they're good NFL cornerbacks? Sorry, I haven't seen it yet. But
that's all you can say. You haven't seen it yet.
I don't know. But you know what? When your team's 9-7 and your defense closes the second half of the season, allowing just 17 points a game, they're all great. So we'll see. We're going to find out soon.
We probably said the same thing about Cameron Brate a year ago.
Sure.
We don't know anything about Cameron Brate.
Now, this isn't about cornerback depth, but it's about depth, specifically wide receiver. Obviously, the Bucs upgraded. And as I stated on a previous podcast, somebody videoed the raw press conference Jameis had at his camp in Alabama, back home in Alabama, and I recorded it off his Snapchat video. And he was asked about getting balls to the receivers, keeping the receivers happy, making sure they get enough touches. Is that going to be a problem? Now, previously, you know, Jameis has been asked that, and I think his answer was, I don't discriminate. Get open, you'll get the ball. Well, in this one, you talk about winning a little bit ago, Steve. Steve was mentioning winning. People won't care about death. Jameis said, you know what? If we win, if a guy's only getting one or two catches, they're going to be happy because we're winning.
Isn't that exactly what Cutter said?
Yeah, exactly what Cutter said. I think that was part three or two. I don't know. Go back to iTunes. Listen to Dirk Cutter on the Ira Kaufman podcast, podbean.com,
JoeBucksFan.com. Don't tell me you got more Cutter going forward. You got more Cutter.
Yeah, this was part six. Part seven.
Is there an end to the Cutter?
Yeah, it's called training camp.
I think it's going to be part seven. We have really some real good juice, really great juicy stuff coming up. And I think we'll probably get to that next week, Ira, next week. With Dirk Cutter, but I don't know. We haven't. We're freewheeling cats here on JoeBucksFan.com. But I hate to ignore your questions, and I did not answer your question directly. I take notes all the time, Ira. I didn't answer your question directly on the running back depth, and I think the running back depth is great. Okay, but do you have a number one running back? I don't know.
That's well said.
I don't know.
That's well said.
So you got a.
Do you need one in today's NFL?
You got a bunch of number twos and number one A's. You don't have a number one. Do you need one? So to play the way Dirk Cutter wants to play, yeah, you really do. But every darn head coach in the league wants a number one running back. But I think the Bucs have enough there, even without Doug Martin. But we'll see. If McNichol sucks, then you know we've got some issues.
Florio threw it out there. He thought his ultimate trade. He thinks the Bucs ought to trade for Matt Forte. He thinks that you probably get him real cheap. Solid logic to that. But I can't think it was NFL Network. What NFL player on what squad, on a different squad, would make the most impact and the most sense? And there's a guy, I think, up north in a steel town who's doesn't have a contract yet, if I remember right, Le'Veon Bell. They said, you put Le'Veon Bell in the Bucks, forget about it.
What are you trying to do, kill people over there at the Kemper?
What, give Steeler fans heart attacks? What? I think it was Peter Schrager that said, someone on the Good Morning America, or Good Morning Football, they said, you put Le'Veon Bell on the Bucks, forget about it.
He very well could be the best back in football. The best back in football, Le'Veon Bell.
I wouldn't go that far, only because he's always dinged up and he's got his drug problems.
But, boy, what a talent.
Yeah, obviously, great talent.
But,
right.
but he'd have to beat out Charles Sims, early.
Mr. Kaufman, all right. Hey, July 18th, Ira, summer is cruising along. Any parting sage wisdom for the good folks? You've already told the story about the Daytona 500 where you knew nothing. So do you have any sage wisdom?
Well, I got another little trip, a little Colorado trip.
Nice.
You know, see my son out there. And I have already booked a hot air balloon trip.
Are you powering it yourself?
Four of us are going on a hot air balloon.
You, your bride, and your son,
and his girlfriend. And there's more than one Buck fan that says, Kaufman, you don't need any more hot air. You're doing
fine. I can't picture you.
What do you mean you can't picture?
Something tells me you're going to be white knuckled.
No,
you're going to be
When I'm up there, I'm going to be looking for. Cutter told me to look for a safety while I was out there, so I'm going to.
You're not being coerced into this. This is something in your own free will.
Well, I'm a little scared of heights. I won't go on. I'm not going on an amusement park ride.
If the balloon starts going down, just start talking. just start doing the podcast.
On that note, outstanding.
All right, get out of here.